Good morning. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. God's final word, his Son. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." This is the word of the Lord.
I've been writing for a while. How it started was I was leading the adult Bible study group before COVID, and I was doing the research anyways. I heard about a program called PresbyCan, which is a morning devotional, which you can sign up for. It's a short devotional of about 500 words with some prayers. And there are many talented people from across North America and a few internationally. And I started submitting my writing, and it was well received. I think the editor is a bit brutal on me sometimes, but that's me. Anyways, when thinking about things to write about, I decided to do the book that I understood the least about, which is the book of Hebrews. And being more of an academic than a public speaker, I thought the best way to learn something is to teach it. And so I have been writing my way through the book of Hebrews for the last couple of years. I'm midway through chapter 11. The end is in sight. Maybe my editor feels that way too. So he told me to stop talking about Melchizedek. Okay. Anyways, the first chapter of Hebrews. We're not sure who wrote Hebrews. Maybe we'll never know. Not this side of heaven. But it was not Paul. I don't believe so. And it was written to a group of people who had been Jewish and had come to Jesus as believers. But they were being economically sanctioned. Their families were giving them a hard time, who were Jewish families. The Romans gave everybody a hard time. That was their job. And they were living in a secular culture. And they were thinking about backing away from their faith and just going back to being Jews. And this person who wrote to them was reminding them of why it was their faith was so important. And the Jewish people knew their scriptures upside down. But the writer to the Hebrews wanted to show them why the Old Testament was so important and how it led to the end of times, to Jesus as our Savior. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews is working through all these people and situations in the Bible to show them what God was like. And so I asked for the first verses in the book so that you would have a bit of an introduction. And you can call it foreshadowing. It's a theological term to show what God is going to be like in certain types of literature or people. I prefer rays of light because it's just easier to remember and it's more fun. Anyways, so as children, you're walking around and learning about lights. So here's a flashlight, my children's prop, you know. Shadow puppets on the wall. How many people have done that? Messing around by the campfire, you know. Camping, using your flashlight. These are very handy for dark cupboards, by the way, to find stuff. And as you know, we also use magnifying glasses as we were growing up to start grass fires and fry bugs. But you know, we also learned about nature by looking at it close up. And maybe as you got into school, you started learning how to use a telescope. And you convinced some brave person in the class to get some blood on a slide. To put it under so you could see the miracles of skin and blood under a concentrated ray of light in a telescope. And maybe you had the chance in later life to look at a telescope at the stars, which collects the light to allow you to see the heavenly bodies or what the moon really looks like. Different ways that light is used. And if you think about lasers, concentrated lights that I've been told can cut steel. There you go. So, you know, using all those examples, you know, growing up, you know, makes me think of God's, you know, true truth, which appeared in a way of, in the past, converging into one pure, clear beam of light in the person of Jesus. That was my point about the flashlight. Anyways, he used it various types of ways. You can think of them. There'd be parables. There's stories of great battles and human migration and prophets standing up to the people with rulers with really unpopular messages. Think of Elijah. It got him into a lot of trouble. Miracles performed to astounded onlookers, things that had never been seen before. And the poetry of the Psalms and the wise advice of the Proverbs. It's as each of these revelations of God's love and mercy and justice were like rays of light performing different tasks and appearing in mysterious ways sometimes, sometimes that we don't even understand why, to reach his people and tell him about his plan of salvation. And let me reread Hebrews 1 for you. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us about his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So after many various signs and revelations, God then sent his Son to earth, the firstborn, the maker of creation, to us not only to speak messages about God, but also to be the Word himself. He was the message. In a way, all those rays of light and wisdom were joined together to become part of one pure ray of energy, of light, shining in the darkness like my flashlight and revealing God's love and mercy and plan of salvation. And he was writing to Christians who were tired and discouraged and who needed encouragement to find strength in the Lord Jesus, knowing that God is greater than any prophet or priest and indeed the maker of the world. And, you know, look at these beautiful stained glass that the light shines through. You know, it can be reminded of God's love that way. And you might be saying, Shirley, what has this got to do with us? These prophets and priests and kings have been dead and dust for thousands of years. What does it mean in November 2022 in Ottawa? What does this mean to us? I put it to you that it's Advent. And, you know, I should be talking about angels and stars and snow and shortbread cookies, you know. What has this got to do with Advent? And I put to you that the book of Hebrews has everything to do with Advent because God was showing us in all these different ways what he was going to be like. What was Jesus going to look like? What was salvation going to look like? What was it going to be? What was it going to smell like? What was it going to taste like? And we're never really told what Jesus looked like for a reason, because what he looked like wasn't really important. The rays of light and teaching from different Psalms and Proverbs and history in battles, even seriously imperfect people. Think about Jacob, about a messed up guy. But you know, he was able to meet God face to face and have a fight with them all night. What was Jacob able to see? A ladder of angels going up and down to heaven. You know, his name was changed to Israel because he worshipped on his staff. His life was turned around and changed. And that's even just one of the many rays of light that tells us what God is like and how he can change up a really messed up person. And this is why I think you should read the book of Hebrews. Because I think you need to know why it was written and why it's important to us. And, you know, the last great prophet was John the Baptist, I would say. And he certainly knew of Isaiah. I don't know that he actually saw himself as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. But a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places the plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How did he speak it? in the people of the Old Testament, in their stories, in their different types of literature, even in their fights, even in their most disgraceful moments. God has showed us what he's like. And that's why I think you should read the book of Hebrews and not be afraid of it. It is what Meg calls dense with theology, and it's true. It's true, but I think you should read it slowly and carefully and see what it has to do with Christmas, because Christmas has everything to do with the book of Hebrews. And Advent is here. It's here. You know, the people of the writer to the Hebrews were discouraged, thinking of going back, deprived. And he wrote to them and said, look, you know, look at all these examples that you have of faith in the past, you know. And as you're marveling, looking at these beautiful stained glass windows, you know, or sun sparkling out of the clouds or on a blue wave on the lake, you know, think of the ways our Lord God revealed himself in the scriptures. And now in these last days that he's revealed himself in the person of Jesus. It's Advent, you know, the Lord has come. Perhaps you're feeling yourself, you know, you're discouraged. What is my faith doing for me? I don't think it's doing anything for me. My family makes fun of me for coming to church. They really do. They don't believe a thing that I do, you know. They make fun of me if I pray over my meal. People at work think I'm a bit of a Jesus freak. You know, I'm even afraid to talk to them anymore, you know. But I would urge you this Christmas to turn around, come back to God. He's never moved, but maybe you have. You know, be inspired by the words of Scripture, by the words of the Christmas songs. And, you know, if today, you know, you in your heart know you haven't been right with God, come pray with me. I'll pray with you. Or if you've never accepted Jesus as Savior, Lord, come and pray with me. I'll pray with you. I'm not afraid. I'm a little bit afraid of public speaking, but not of praying with people and leading Bible studies, you know. Or if you'd like to speak to one of our elders, we'd be happy to pray with you, bring you a little bit closer to God at this time of Advent. And so just invite you to pray with me now. Dear Father, just thank you for this great day, this great time of Advent. Thank you for the writer of the book of Hebrews who showed us what you were going to be like by going through all the people and the situations and the types of scriptures that we have. I just ask today that you would open every heart that is ready to receive you. You know, people whose hearts have been made plain and the mountains have been lowered, the valleys have been raised to make a straight path for our God. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.